You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Listening to Renegade Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Solar Storm. This is your host, Kyle Hunt, coming to you April 11th, 2021, bringing you the 411 on 411, of course. It is great to have you here at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Please check out RenegadeTribune.com. And as always, go buy some products from HeathenHerbs.com. Tonight, I will be talking mainly about the continued attack on white people and how that is advancing at a very rapid pace. But there are some other stories and other topics I will be getting to. And so first, I will just go through a few interesting little stories I picked up throughout the week here. The first one I have is from The Allgemeiner. Former celebrity chef turned anti-Semitic agitator flees to Turkey to escape German arrest warrant. Kind of like this guy. A former celebrity chef who turned into one of Germany's most vocal anti-Semitic agitators has fled to Turkey to escape an arrest warrant issued by German authorities last week. Attila Hildmann, a self-described ultra-right winger of Turkish origin who was brought up by German adoptive parents, was widely known in Germany for his vegan recipe books and frequent appearances on TV food programs over the previous decade. But with the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, Hildmann became one of the leaders of the protest movement opposed to social distancing and other public health measures that has won huge support on the German far right. Throughout the crisis, Hildmann has used his channel on the social media platform Telegram to spread anti-Semitic claims about the global extent of Jewish, in quotes, and Zionist, in quotes, power among more than 120,000 followers. Well, I'd say the extent of their power is pretty evident when he has to flee the country for even mentioning it, huh? He has regularly deployed Nazi terms like parasites and subhumans to underline his accusation that the pandemic is a symptom of wider global conspiracy run by prominent Jews such as financier George Soros and Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. You can't even post certain doctors on Facebook because Facebook is the authority when it comes to COVID-19. The same goes with YouTube and the rest Jugal. Products and search terms and things. Oh, we're going to put little warning labels on there for you so that you go and understand what the authorities have to say about this. And hey, I don't mind the fact that this guy's going to Turkey. I mean, he is of Turkish origin. I also wouldn't mind if he was in Germany, as long as he's not, you know, miscegenating and whatever. If he's in Germany helping the Germans to feel okay about their own history of National Socialism. I think that cooperation between the races is actually a good thing, to a certain extent. We shouldn't be forced to live with each other, and specifically, all of the non-whites of the world should not be encouraged to come into white lands and white people forced to accept them. I think that is completely unnatural, but non-whites calling themselves National Socialists or exposing the truth about Jews, and hey, if they want to help stick up for white people and talk about white genocide, then great, thank you. Welcome aboard. I will even call you my fellow National Socialist. That's fine. The swastika was embraced by people around the world for thousands and thousands of years, and even during the Third Reich, when the swastika was appropriately used, contrary to claims by people say, oh, the swastika was a great symbol, it's a holy symbol, and then the Nazis tarnished it. I think they used it quite right. They used a sun symbol to battle vampires. Very appropriate, especially considering all the things I talked about on my Sunspiracy show last week. And during the Third Reich, people, that swastika was still embraced by people around the world, and today. Today, everyone, you could go around the world and find not only just the swastika, the ancient swastika that, you know, is on old temples and things, you'll also find people embracing the National Socialist swastika and everything that comes along with it. And not always just for aesthetic reasons. I mean, the SS uniforms were pretty dapper, but they're embracing it because of the ideology as well. So, I'm just saying, they don't want people like me explaining this kind of material to others in a, you know, a way that is not hateful. I'm not just going around saying niggers and niggers and kikes. You know, I could be, but I think it's far more effective and far more honest for me to give this message in a way that is not hateful in the way that Jews want us to be. I put that hateful in quotes. There's nothing wrong with wanting to preserve your race, with standing against anybody who threatens it. There's nothing wrong about talking about racial realities. I'd still say around blacks, you should not relax. I mean, we just need to see what's going on in the world today. But that doesn't mean that I have just this absolute hatred of every black creature and want to exterminate them all. I'm having a little problem with my microphone here. It might be because there's something of a storm going on outside. And also because some of these connections might not be the best. And there's a bunch of dust on the mixer. And probably in the mixer as well. But it seems to actually be the connection between this cord and the mic. That is the problem. Anyway, guys, let's continue on. All right. Let's talk about this story here. About how a Hollywood actor was arrested in an alleged $227 million Ponzi scheme. All right, I'm going to have to do something about this. Okay, hopefully we'll have less interference going forward here. So, the story is about Zachary J. Horowitz. Let's just assume he's Germanic, right? A small-time actor who was arrested Tuesday in Los Angeles on a federal charge that he ran a massive Ponzi scheme that defrauded investors out of $227 million by touting fictitious film licensing deals with HBO, Netflix, and other platforms. And let me just mention this really quickly. I was talking about not just being, you know, a senseless hater. There's a reason why I continue to harp on Jews. It's not because I'm jealous of their power. It's not because I don't like the way they look. I mean, I don't, but it's not because of them just being Jews. It's what they are doing, what they have done, and what they plan to do. That's the big problem. The criminal nature of their conspiracy. That's my big issue. And I'm not even hateful about it. I hate what they're doing, but I just need to protect myself, my family, my kin, the whole freaking world from their sick, insane conspiracy. So that's why I target them with my rhetoric. Horowitz, 34, who has appeared in minor films under the stage name Zach Avery. Why are you changing your name, Horowitz? Was accused of fabricating emails from HBO and Netflix executives about non-existent film distribution agreements in an attempt to stave off demands for payment from investors. So there you go. Just a little interesting tidbit there about another Jewish criminal who's just trying to defraud people. How many stories do we need to see about this? Oh, but Jews are good with money. So you give them your money and they'll take good care of it. Big returns. Big returns on your investment. We know what we're doing here. At Goldberg and Goldberg. We know how to get you the gold. Not real gold, you know. Some cash dollars. We'll get it to you. Okay. So we have a little tweet by the ADL here. From earlier in this year, I just want to mention, I found this on Gab. There is a distinct difference between criminal doxing, a common tactic of white supremacists and others, to facilitate the stalking and terrorizing of targets, and the important reporting of extremists and hateful activity. Our laws must clearly reflect that. What they're trying to say is Jews need the laws to be either changed or interpreted such that what Jews do to white people and other anti-Semites should not be illegal, but that when they themselves are exposed, that should be illegal. That's what they're trying to say here. And the article that they have from their site is, doxing should be illegal. Reporting extremists should not. Extremists, people who have done nothing illegal, according to the very laws of this country, need to be doxed by you, and that should not be a crime? Okay, ADL, I see what's going on here. Foreign organization that needs to register as such. Man, I wish we had. Well, whenever I get going, in comes the static to derail me. I'll try to make it through the broadcast as well as I can. And it's not even a broadcast, guys. It is a podcast. I don't broadcast anymore. on Renegade Broadcasting. Here we go. American Jewish Congress says their opposition to digital free speech is a badge of honor in bizarre attack on Gab. So this is by Shane Trejo out of Big League Politics. The American Jewish Congress is coming out in favor of draconian tech censorship as long as it is done in the name of fighting anti-Semitism and calling it a badge of honor to oppose the free speech platform Gab. We will continue to relentlessly shine a spotlight on anti-Semitic and extremist threats to our democracy, values, and institutions, the AJC wrote in a press release. The AJC also attacked Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. That seems like a 100% limited hangout, control opposition anyway. But she is on Gab, and she's been fundraising on Gab, and they don't like it. The organization released a report, 90 Days of White Supremacist Radicalization, to monger fear and raise funds from the hysterical overreaction to the January 6th mostly peaceful protest in and around the U.S. Capitol by pro-Trump patriots. It wasn't just those people. It was nefarious actors. That was a staged operation for sure. Anyway, yeah, they don't like free speech. Never did, never have. Except for when it allows them the cover to promote pornography. Remember how basically pornography was allowed, extreme hardcore pornography is allowed in the United States under the guise of free speech. Yeah, well, it's a free speech to photograph the shiksas and yentas and with the big black bucks and things like that, you know. And what's that guy's name? He's a Jewish porn actor. I guess if you call them actors, something Dean, not Howard Dean, Jimmy Dean. Oh, James Dean. Yeah, like the actor. So this guy has the stage name of James Dean, and he has been accused of beating up these women, these female porn stars, and nothing is done. He wins the awards in the porn industry. Oh, yeah, he loves it. He gets to beat up white porn whores and get paid for it. And, oh, it was all part of the act. This was part of the... It's part of my character. It's just so sick. The whole thing is very sick, and it's a big conspiracy to drain us of all of our vital energy and prevent us from rising up against their tyrannical control. But that's a different story. Let's get on to what is going on with the anti-white attack that is ramping up here. First story in that regard is out of the WashingtonTimes.com. House inches closer to enacting slavery reparations. And who do I see here first? Mr. Gerald Nadler, a Democrat from New York. And he's a little dumpy Jew. And if you've watched, I don't remember exactly when this was, sometime last year, it does look like he crapped his pants on stage. Just look into that. Disgusting, terrible person here. A bill that could lead to slavery reparations took a major step forward Friday when the House Judiciary Committee scheduled it for a debate and vote next week. If the legislation, which would create a commission to study reparations, is voted out of the committee, it would head to the House floor for the first full congressional vote on the measure since 1989. Today, we still live with racial disparities in access to education, healthcare, housing, insurance, employment, and other social goods that are directly attributable to the damaging legacy of slavery and government-sponsored racial discrimination, said committee chairman Representative Gerald Nadler. Oh, the reason they're not doing as well as white people is because of slavery and discrimination. We need to give reparations. Mr. Nadler said the commission is not intended to divide, but bring us closer to racial understanding and advancement. I would like to bring us closer to racial understanding and advancement as well. But the way I would do that is much different than the way Gerald Nadler would do that. Yep, so they're... I want to study the impact, the implications of slavery from 1619 to the present, because they want to give appropriate reparations for African Americans. I think we've given them plenty. I think we've carried the white man's burden for long enough. I really do. Look at where they are compared to Africans today. the average African-American is living far better than the average African. If they don't like being a racist America, they can go to Africa and stop complaining about it, couldn't they? But they won't. They never would. Even if Akon has that plan to slap them asses back to Africa. I say that if you don't know who Akon is, he was famous for that slap that ass song. Yes, I'm not going to sing it or play it, but he had this idea for starting up some kind of, you know, Wakanda in Africa and getting a bunch of black Americans to move on over there. So they want to do that. Great. Marcus Garvey, he had a good plan for that too. Abraham Lincoln, he had a pretty good plan. Send him back to Africa. I'm not even honestly that extreme. Can we just have freedom of association? Can we have our separation? Oh, but that's actually the definition of apartheid, and that's evil and racist. Like, I don't want to lord over them. I don't want to rule them. I don't want to even have to employ them. I don't want any of that. I don't want to make them my slaves. I wish we could just kind of go our own separate ways. White people are racist and evil, and can't we just go live amongst ourselves, and we won't trouble you with our racism? Why is that not allowed? Well, we know why. Because Martin Luther King had a dream about little black boys and little white girls holding hands and miscegenating into the future. Yes. So there's another story here out of New York Sun. Could tax code be used to make U.S. reparations? Don't be surprised, our columnist writes. Could a racial priority for getting a COVID-19 vaccine turn out to be just the first step on the way to race-based tax rates? A tax bill that varies depending on the taxpayer's race might strike readers as some law professor's remote fantasy, far from anything that might become reality. Things are developing more quickly on this front, though, than is widely recognized. Just this month, the governor of Vermont, Phil Scott, a Republican, attracted attention when he announced, if you or anyone in your household identifies as black, indigenous, or a person of color, BIPOC, including anyone with Abenaki or other First Nations heritage, all household members who are 16 years or older can sign up to get a vaccine. You should say no thanks. Hey, BIPOCs out there, you want a little word of advice? Say, go shove it, Phil Scott. A Reason article notes that in December 2020, while Republican Donald Trump was still president, the Federal Department of Veterans Affairs announced that it would prioritize Black, Hispanic, Native American, and Asian veterans in vaccine distribution. Reason cites the Cato Institute's Walter Olson as describing these schemes as unconstitutional, a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. And a lot of these schemes that are going on these days, by the way, also violate the 1965 Civil Rights Act. Yet vaccine line leapfrogging might just be a warm-up act for a longer-term issue to ponder as this year's annual Internal Revenue Service tax filing deadline approaches. Prediction: by tax year 2024, Americans will be asked to indicate their race on Form 1040. Tweeted Scott Greenberg, a former analyst at the Tax Foundation, who now writes about tax policy in a Substack newsletter called No Withholding. Greenberg was reacting to a tax policy reporter for the Wall Street Journal, Richard Rubin. Oy vey. Why do you see Jews everywhere? Why do you think Jews have all this disproportionate control of things? And even when it's the opposition writing about it in these news articles, it's Jews who are cited. Jews are doing the thing, and then it's Jews who are opposed to doing the thing. Either way, you're following Jews. It's crazy. Every single time. So Richard Rubin had flagged the news that the Biden administration had put the Treasury Department's top tax policy official on an equitable data working group. According to the Biden executive order, many federal data sets are not disaggregated by race, ethnicity, gender, disability, income, veteran status, or other key demographic variables. This lack of data has cascading effects and impedes efforts to measure and advance equity. A first step to promoting equity in government action is to gather the necessary data to inform that effort. So they talk about how the IRS needs to be, you know, getting some racial data. And basically what's going to happen in the future is if you're white, you're going to be paying even more of the tax bill for blacks who get all sorts, and other BIPOCs who get all sorts of advantages with housing, free housing, and food stamps and welfare of all sorts. Yeah, so you're going to be funding everything. Your white man's burden is going to get even bigger. Yep. Oh, here's an interesting little story out of campus reform. University researcher, intelligence is a white man's mythology. Oh, this is great. University of Cincinnati graduate assistant wrote that intelligence is a white man's mythology. And also, stop calling your female colleagues smart or clever or brilliant. This is Mel Andrews, who studies cognition and evolution. It's sexist and infantilizing. It shouldn't be surprising to you that in 2021 that women are capable of thought. You're doing the same thing when you describe your black and Latino students as very bright, added Andrews. Intelligence is a white man's mythology, a phantasmal concept, a non-referring term. Syncategormatic. She is so smart that she used a word like syncategormatic. It's just amazing. I thought I was smart. I'd never even seen that word. This woman's a genius. But, oh, damn it. She told me not to call a woman smart. All right, she's an absolute idiot. How about that? Indicating that the post was entirely serious, it was followed by an excerpt from a chapter Andrews wrote for a book entitled Handbook of Parenting. Yeah. Wow. So this is what universities are all about these days. Pretty interesting, huh? Oh, here's an interesting, another story about one of the BLM founders, one of these trained Marxists. And is this the one, is Patrice Cullors the one with a Jewish father, adoptive father? Maybe that was one of the other ones. But they're all these lesbian Marxist witches and stuff. Whatever it is they subscribe to, some kind of voodoo. BLM founders branded a fraud after buying a $1.4 million home in an upscale, mostly white enclave in L.A. Of course, Black Lives Matter, so that's why you want to go live around white people in an expensive home. Yes, Patrice Cullors, 37, has bought an expansive property in Topanga Canyon. The district in which the BLM founder will now live is 88% white and 1.8% black. I'm tired of getting my stuff robbed, okay? Okay? Critics accused her of abandoning her social justice and activist roots. Cullors has written a best-selling memoir and has a follow-up out in October. In October, she signed a multi-platform, multi-year deal with Warner Brothers. Oh my god. BLM brought in $90 million in donations last year, it emerged in March. It's not just that. There are other organizations that were fundraising through the whole Black Lives Matter movement. It was massive. When you look at the corporate contributions, and a lot of it actually did go directly to the Democrat Party, essentially. The Democrat Party used a lot of these shell groups to fundraise. And I'm not saying this like, oh, the Dems are just evil. It's just what the facts lead to. And yes, the Dems are evil, but the point is that the Republicans are as well. Just in a little slightly different way. Pick your poison, you know? Anyway, I think you get the point with that. It looks like a pretty damn nice place in California, that's for sure. So, throughout the show thus far, I've been talking a little bit about the white man's burden. I wanted to just discuss this briefly because it's an interesting little history lesson. And I think that what it originally referred to is a little bit different than what I'm referencing now. The white man's burden was essentially coined by Rudyard Kipling, I think. I'm sure other people might have referenced it beforehand, but that's what really popularized the term, at least. And Rudyard Kipling actually used to use the swastika all the time on his books. I'm not sure, but the Jungle Book probably had a swastika in one of the cover pages. Or something like that. And Rudyard Kipling was a Mason. Not saying he's a great guy. Pretty sure he was a Mason, right? And he also wrote the Wrath of the... It wasn't originally termed the Wrath of the Awakened Saxon, but that's how a lot of people know of it. But he wrote the poem The White Man's Burden about how white people really should go and civilize the world through their colonization and empire building activities. That, yeah, it's actually not that great for us, but we need to do it. We need to bring these people up. We need to help them out. And he really kind of put forth and this kind of altruism idea. It seems like perhaps he's being a little bit sarcastic. I don't know. You'd have to really analyze the text yourself and kind of see what was going on at the time, the context, if you will. Let me read through this poem in case you've never heard it. Take up the white man's burden. Send forth the best ye breed. Go bind your sons to exile, to serve your captives' need. To wait in heavy harness on fluttered folk and wild, your new-caught sullen peoples, half devil and half child. Take up the white man's burden, in patience to abide, to veil the threat of terror, and check the show of pride. By open speech and simple, and 100 times made plain, to seek another's profit, and work another's gain. Take up the white man's burden, the savage wars of peace. Fill full the mouth of famine, and bid the sickness cease. And when your goal is nearest, the end for others sought, watch sloth and heathen folly, bring all your hopes to naught. Take up the white man's burden, no tawdry rule of kings, but toil of serf and sweeper, the tale of common things. The ports ye shall not enter, the roads ye shall not tread. Go make them with your living, and mark them with your dead. Take up the white man's burden, and reap his old reward. The blame of those ye better, the hate of those ye guard. The cry of host ye humor, slowly toward the light. Why brought ye us from bondage, our loved Egyptian knight? Take up the white man's burden, ye dare not stoop to less, nor call too loud on freedom to cloak your wariness. By all ye cry or whisper, by all ye leave or do, the silent, sullen peoples shall weigh your gods and you. Take up the white man's burden, have done with childish days, the lightly proffered laurel, the easy, ungrudged praise. Comes now to search your manhood, through all the thankless years, cold-edged with dear-bought wisdom, the judgment of your peers. So was he really telling people that they should take up this white man's burden or warning against it? Honestly, it's a little hard for me to tell. The message really does seem to be that picking up this white man's burden and trying to civilize these people is thankless, and it all basically comes undone fairly quickly. It really should not be our goal. We should not go around trying to bring the light of Jesus to these people, or Western civilization, or whatever it may be. I think a lot of this was inspired by Christianity, that we need to go and civilize these savages and bring Jesus to them. Why? Let them be. I say let them be. They don't like cultural appropriation? Well, then they shouldn't culturally appropriate English. They shouldn't wear our kinds of clothes. Let them speak in clicks and whistles. Let them have bones through their nose. Do you like that? I just came up with that little lyric on the spot. I should be a poet. I really should be. That's going to be my new thing. I'm going to be a bard, people. There was actually a 1995 movie that I've never seen called The White Man's Burden. And this was starring John Travolta, coming to us from Republic Pictures Home Video. This was not very well received. Nobody really liked the movie. It was probably made pretty poorly. But let's just listen to the trailer. It's just kind of like a flipping the script where blacks have the upper hand in America.
From the producers of Pulp Fiction comes one of the most powerful films of the year. Louis Pinnock is a hard-working man, struggling to provide for his family.
That's my baby girl.
But the cards are stacked against him.
I promise you, it's gonna be better.
Barriers still exist.
The next time you have something delivered here to the house, could you send someone other than the fellow you sent by today?
But in this world, the roles are reversed.
White people are genetically inferior.
I can't keep you on anymore.
Follow me?
So when Lewis is unfairly fired from his job,
well, tell him that I just lost my job at the factory and I need to talk to him. It's important.
I don't get involved in these matters.
He decides to get even the only way he knows how.
You know who I am. Whole line, look at me.
Put your hands up.
That's what this is about. The street is holding out. Now you want to help me.
Now I've got a gun. You got all the time in the world.
Now put your head on the dance.
HBO Home Video presents John Travolta and Harry Belafonte in White Man's Burden.
All right. Sounds great, doesn't it? We're living in White Man's Burden, aren't we? The roles have been reversed. Well, okay. If we were living in a white supremacist system, as is alleged by these idiots, would white people get fired for saying anything against BLM? For making any kind of remark that could be considered racist or even just a microaggression? Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, I really don't think so. And also, we should ask, has a black person ever been fired for saying anything anti-white? Not that I can think of, not recently at least. Can you think of anything? Let's take a look at this story I reported on. Boston Hospital to put white people last in line for treatment. Because this is just one story among so many that goes to show what's going on. It's white genocide. We don't have white privilege. And to think that, you know, institutions should be colorblind or that people could be colorblind is no longer a progressive value. That's just an aspect of white privilege to think that we should be colorblind. You now have to really discriminate against white people in every single way possible to be woke. It's not just affirmative action and diversity quotas. White people shouldn't even get health care. So this is all part of the genocidal agenda. Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston is going to be giving patients preferential treatment based on their race. And this is just a pilot initiative, they say, and they want to use a reparations framework to bring this kind of program all around the United States so that the care of Black and Latinx patients and community members is prioritized. This is just so sick, the Washington Examiner reports. Brigham and Women's Hospital says it will offer preferential care based on race and race-explicit interventions in an attempt to engage in an anti-racist agenda for medicine based on critical race theory. A Boston Review article titled "An Anti-Racist Agenda for Medicine" lays out a plan from Brigham and Women's Hospital that implements a reparations framework for distributing medical resources in order to comprehensively confront structural racism. This is structural racism. So you're going to confront structural racism with structural racism? This is idiotic. Together with a coalition of fellow practitioners and hospital leaders, we have developed what we will hope to be a replicable pilot program for direct redress of many racial healthcare inequities. Harvard Medical School instructors Bram Whispelwe, who looks like a Jew, and Michelle Morris wrote in the article. But I have to ask, whose blood will the hands be on when white people are denied life-saving care? Now, I'd say stay away from hospitals, but if somebody really needs medical attention and they're white, they're going to be denied life-saving care because, black person over there got a boo-boo. Think about this. This is sick. And here's the thing. They realize it's highly illegal. It's highly illegal. You can't do this. Here's a tweet by Wesley Yang. Proposed anti-racist agenda for medicine means offering preferential care based on race or ethnicity in full awareness that it violates civil rights law and will elicit legal challenges, but in confidence that the recent White House executive provides backing. This is just a quote. Offering preferential care based on race or ethnicity may elicit legal challenges from our system of colorblind law. But given the ample current evidence that our health, judicial, and other systems already unfairly preference people who are white, we believe, following the ethical framework of Zach and others, that our approach is corrective and therefore mandated. We encourage other institutions to proceed confidently on behalf of equity and racial justice, with backing provided by recent White House executive orders. We encourage others to break the law. Think about this. This is so insane. Wow. If you don't realize that there's an anti-white agenda, where you been? You know, obviously people listening here, but how can people not realize that there's an anti-white agenda? Either it's you're for it, or you're starting to really get agitated by it. Either you think it's a really good thing, or you're opposed to it, and you realize it's genocidal. But we really need to hold these people accountable for the crimes that they are committing. Even just the crimes against children, crimes against education, crimes against facts, decency, sanity. Another story I reported on is professors push program that claims math is racist because it requires a right answer. You go read this one. I'm not going to go through the whole story here, but here's a little quote. They're putting forth this program, and it's so stupid. It's so insane. It's in Oregon. The Department of Education put out this newsletter and this guide for, you know, equity with education. White supremacy culture infiltrates math classrooms and everyday teacher actions. Coupled with the beliefs that underlie these actions, they perpetuate educational harm on Black, Latinx, and multilingual students, denying them full access to the world of mathematics. The course challenges teachers to center ethnomathematics, which teaches or includes recognizing how communities of color engage in mathematics and exposing students to examples of people who have used math as resistance. So Che Guevara, he was out there using math as resistance. But teacher, didn't Che say that blacks are indolent and lazy and that he didn't want to work with them? Shut up. So they're using Robin DiAngelo's whole system of critical race theory with the whole anti-racist and whiteness crap. It's just, they say it's white supremacy culture to focus on getting the right answer and having students show their work. This is just so insane. I reported a little while ago on this Jewish math professor who was claiming that the equation 2 plus 2 equals 4 reeks of white supremacist patriarchy. That is how Orwellian this anti-white system has become, people. It's really bad. So what I'd like to do now is introduce Sinead McCarthy here. She'll be my guest for the latter half of this show.
Hello. Hello there.
We missed you last week, but you're here now. Mm-hmm. Thus far, I've been talking about how we're really living in a real version of white man's burden, and the white man is being forced to really carry a pretty heavy load in terms of all the guilt that's placed on him, all the tax burden, and just really everything that we're seeing now, where white people are being blamed for everything. We're also pretty much the lowest caste now in Western society, where we're the untouchables. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, white people are being denied access to schools, access to jobs, access to healthcare now as well, as we've seen in that Boston hospital. And also white people are potentially going to be taxed much more than black people who make the same amount of money. Mm-hmm. And just last week I covered that story about the professor who was making $50,000 a year less than his colleagues who were less qualified than him.
Yeah.
This is just standard.
Yeah, this is already happening, so imagine where they want it to go in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Now, I have a few stories I wanted to go through with you here. Talking about the caste system also makes me think of the COVID caste system that's been set up, because the vaccinated people are given these special privileges. They show their little ID card, their passport, and then they could go to the ball game. They can go shopping. They can go eat at this restaurant or that. They could travel, or they can get rescued as a volcano erupts.
Yeah, that's pretty telling.
So in St. Vincent, as they were evacuating the island after the volcanic eruption recently, they were only rescuing people who had the COVID-19 mm-hmm. vaccine.
Yep.
Do you have your vaccine card? Oh, then you could stay on the island and deal with the volcano.
And think about how they manufacture crises all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and they can make these horrible
natural
disasters, right? Yeah, oh, yeah. And then have these big, rescue missions where, oh, sorry, yeah, you can't be rescued because you didn't get the COVID vaccine. I mean,
obviously, it sounds like quite a conspiracy theory, but it is so simple for them now to cause a volcanic eruption, to trigger a tsunami. Mm-hmm. They could do all sorts of things. A hurricane, earthquake. These things are a lot of them, especially the underground one, like earthquakes or tsunamis, right? That's just triggered by underground explosions. Yeah. Or they've even got the HAARP type technology. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily HAARP, but something like it,
right,
to be able to initiate different weather systems or really do a lot of different damage.
Yeah. And even okay, put all that aside, if you don't want to believe they could do that, even though you're pretty foolish to think that, they'll take advantage of a real disaster and right. Oh, sorry, can't help you. Can't give you food and water because you haven't gotten your COVID vaccine. It's insane.
You're sentenced to death. Yep. And if you're a white person who hasn't gotten your COVID vaccine, you're at the absolute back of the bus.
Yep.
Yep. So then also I wanted to talk about the idea of super shedders being far more dangerous than super spreaders. Mm-hmm. Now, there actually was a study done in 2018 that showed that 6.3 times more likely to do aerosol shedding of a virus if you got the flu vaccine than if you never did. So essentially, you're shedding the flu vaccine virus to people all around you while you think that you're helping to have herd immunity and stay healthy and safe. I'm doing this for you guys as you're shedding all over them.
Yeah.
So if that was the case with the flu vaccine, what could possibly be taking place with these mRNA vaccines where it could just be that they're also causing the person's body to start essentially producing illness?
Yeah, there's something really strange going on with this vaccine. I know a lot of people are getting legitimately sick, and it's flu-like symptoms and other kinds of symptoms, too, where they just feel horrible. Many people have had to actually, be hospitalized.
Charlie, I don't know if you wanted me to say that, but I'm going to tell you guys. Charlie was really sick for 2 weeks. He just reached out to me yesterday. He said he had passed out, that he basically had pneumonia.
Yeah.
He said he refused to get tested, which caused a big stir at the hospital.
Oh, God.
But, whatever it was, he said it was terrible. Never seen anything like it.
Yeah, so people are getting sick. Now, I don't, it's not like COVID-19. They're going to need to be put on a ventilator. But I don't know if it's some kind of chemical warfare or I don't know.
It could be the chemtrails.
It could be, yeah. Or, I don't know, it's just weird. It seems to have coincided with everyone getting vaccinated. And I don't know. There's just something really strange going on. I don't know if it's the vaccines that they're then shedding onto other people or if it's what they're spraying or if it's some kind of energetic thing. I don't know.
5G?
I mean, who knows? There's so many damn... It could be everything. But then people will be like, no, dude, I got sick. Like, I got
COVID's
so
real.
Sick. And I'm not trying to deny that people are getting sick. It happens. But they're then going to be like, oh, yeah, no, that was definitely COVID. We got to wear masks and all this. So, I don't know. It's very strange.
But what I think is going on is that perhaps the people who are vaccinated might not initially see some of this sickness.
Right, because, you hear about people having reactions, but I know a lot of people who have gotten both shots. Some people get sick for a day or two. But they're like totally fine, and then a lot of people that aren't getting vaccinated are like all sick. So I don't fucking advocate for vaccines, but there's something very weird going on here.
And there's something about the 28 day incubation period that we were hearing about, and it's just interesting considering the 28 days later, zombie movie where it was essentially created in a lab.
Jeez.
Using monkeys.
And the thing too, people are like, oh, well, I'll take this experimental vaccine because I haven't gotten a reaction. Everything's fine. That doesn't mean that something isn't going on in your body that is going to manifest later.
Where are the long-term studies you've done? Who's going to pay for all my medical bills if I end up really sick from this?
Right.
And of course, they would never trace it back to the vaccine. Oh, well, You got all this you got all this stuff a week later because of something else. It was just a random accident, and random coincidence.
I mean, now they're allowing it to be shot into children and infants in many places. I mean, this is just absolutely insane.
Well, that brings me to this story. Mandatory vaccination for children is kosher, says the European Court of Human Rights. I said that.
Oh.
That's my headline.
Okay.
But here's from Barron's. The European Court of Human Rights ruled on Thursday that obligatory vaccinations can be seen as necessary in democratic societies. In a landmark judgment after a complaint brought by Czech families over compulsory jabs for children. This is the first time that the ECHR has delivered a judgment about compulsory vaccination against childhood diseases. Experts say it could have implications for any policy of compulsory vaccinations against COVID-19. So, yeah,
insane.
We live in a democratic society, so, I mean,
we're gonna
you have no choice.
Vaccine into your body, you don't have a choice.
Democratic society means totalitarian, draconian regime.
Yeah.
Where we can inject you and your children with neurotoxins and you can't say anything about it.
Yeah. I mean, this is just, it's absolutely insane.
In the article, I defined a democratic society as one in which Jews rule over us, regardless of who we vote for.
Mm-hmm.
That really does seem to be the definition when they're referencing democratic societies. But I love how that's the justification. Yeah. Well, we live in democratic societies, so we're going to inject your children.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see, like, where this goes, because I think we saw something recently where the demand for the vaccine is now... the production of the vaccine is now more than the demand.
Yeah, less supply.
So it'll be interesting to see like where they go next. Will they have another lockdown planned because of all these new variants that are coming out that they say, you know, are mutating? And then, you know, how many COVID boosters are people going to have to get?
Get a new booster for each variant.
You got to get a booster each week down at the GameStop Prime.
Yeah. So, I mean, just think about in the United States alone, $4.2 billion have been paid out through the vaccine compensation program. National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. And they have only paid out a tiny fraction of people who have made the complaints. But still, $4.2 billion worth of damage done to people that the government has paid out. And who's actually footing that bill? Is it the pharmaceutical
company?
It's the taxpayer.
If people actually, like, really knew, they'd be so pissed.
So that amount of damage has been done. But, vaccines couldn't possibly cause autism. You say that. You're kicked off social media. I mean,
mercury getting injected into your bloodstream is always a good idea.
Aluminum, another neurotoxin. It has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. So but just think of all the different issues that have come about after they introduced all of these different vaccines. When I was growing up, it wasn't nearly as many as what the children are receiving now, probably why my generation wasn't nearly as harmed. Right. I didn't even know what autism was until maybe high school I first heard the term.
I don't even think I knew what it was until college.
Never heard of it. Now everybody's got it.
That person's weird.
Yeah.
Those are the anime people. They're really weird.
And it wasn't just that my peers were underdiagnosed.
Right.
It's that people
people
weren't as harmed back then. They weren't as injured.
Right.
So,
and they were still getting injured.
Yeah.
For sure.
Why is it? Weren't as injured.
Right.
So $4.2 billion paid out, just a small fraction in the United States alone. So just think of all the damage that has been done, because that's only a tiny fraction of the people who should have received compensation, because they're never going to admit that the vaccines actually caused the damage. They're going to do everything they can not to pay.
Oh my God. Remember that thing that we watched? It was like the Today Show where they were all getting their vaccines. That was just like the creepiest, weirdest thing I've ever watched.
Synchronized. So with a countdown.
Yeah, they had a countdown. It was like all the Today Show hosts outside with masks on, like distanced, like 10 feet away from each other with like Walgreens or CVS pharmacists. And they had like the double masks and the face shield on. And they were like all going around shilling for the vaccine. Like, I'm just so hopeful for the future. I'm so excited that this technology is here. And they did a countdown like 10, 9. And then they all got the vaccine.
In 28 days, I could finally hug my loved ones again. So think about that programming.
Yeah.
Get the vaccine, and then finally you can go hug your friends and family. If you're turned into a super shedder who's actually producing illness with your very body, your body's been hijacked.
You're going to go get your grandchildren sick when you think – it's like the total opposite. If you would have just seen your grandkids and your loved ones before you got a vaccine, you probably wouldn't have hurt them. But now,
yeah,
when you think you're being all protective and following the guidelines.
And now finally we're seeing all these stories about children getting seriously sick.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Before, with the supposed COVID-19 that nobody ever isolated.
They're
into it. Yeah. Like, children were getting sick.
Right.
But still, of course, they forced them to wear the face masks.
Oh, my God.
No, none of the children had any risk of dying or even getting sick,
really. And they're still wearing them. This is the thing that really pisses me off. Like, it's great that we're in Florida and we can go and do stuff without masks on and we can go, you know, to a restaurant or whatever. But these poor children still have to wear them all day when they're outside playing. All day.
Even when they're walking home from the bus stops.
Even when they're outside. So, you know, we shouldn't be like, yay, we get to go get drunk on the beach without a mask on. Maybe we should be concerned about the children that are being freaking denied oxygen all day.
Physically.
Mentally.
And mentally. For sure. Spiritually as well. Because spirit means breath.
Yes. It breaks my heart seeing these kids.
Mm-hmm. And you saw about how that high school track and field coach was fired.
Good for him.
Because he was not requiring his students. He was saying, no, you don't have to wear masks while you're out here exercising, training, and competing. Because that's what the state requires.
I would love to have whoever passed that rule to go put three masks on. And run on a treadmill.
Lock them on a treadmill and have a tank of sharks behind them.
Oh, do you feel safe? Do you feel safe with your masks on? Oh, you can't breathe? Oh, wow, that's weird. Are you out of breath? Oh, it might have something to do with the three layers of cloth across your face. But, you know, I'm just a conspiracy theorist over here. I don't know. It's just, holy shit. Like, we are so far gone.
Yeah.
If you would have told me 2 years ago that children would be forced to fucking cover their breathing holes, like, what? I would not believe you. I'd be like, no, you idiot. They're not going to do that.
So think about what we were talking about the other night, about just how really our bodies aren't allowed to breathe.
No.
Now with me, I wear flip-flops most of the time, so I hate socks. I haven't worn socks really since I've been up north, or you know, the rare occasion I put on shoes down here.
Yeah.
But my feet don't stink. They might get dirty, but they don't smell, and they're not gross like most people's feet are. So there's a reason people find feet gross, but that's because that they're putting them in socks and shoes all the time.
It's a dark, damp environment where bacteria and yeast is going to grow.
Think about, you know, let's say Scotland, where the men would wear kilts and no underwear.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think, way healthier for that region than wearing tight little underpants.
Well, especially for females.
Underpants.
You know, you shouldn't be wearing all this, like, synthetic fabric all in your private area.
The bras, the panties and all that. And think about ancient Greece, where they did none of that, and they were probably far healthier. Now, it has to do with climate, but a lot of it has to do with also the religious culture that we've had. Think about the puritanical dress with the black woolly clothes. Or the Jews. Think of how badly they smell. It's not just because of what they eat.
Oh, God. They walk around
the ones in
like
New York,
those fuzzy hats.
The rabbit fur hats.
The dead of summer. Like
complete black.
If you ever got put on a subway train with them, oh, God.
Yeah.
And so, the women are wearing those wigs and their long sleeves.
It's just so
literally
gross. That's super trad.
All that they would do, like anytime I would see the Hasidic women coming and going from the city, because I lived in Brooklyn, so they would ride the same train that I did, like back and forth to Manhattan. All that the women would do is just go shopping every day. Like they would have Brooks Brothers bags.
Yeah.
Like just tons of Brooks Brothers bags. And that's all that they would do. Just go into the city, shop. Come home.
Put wigs on their shaved heads.
Yeah.
Put on their striped shirts.
It was just... Or they'd be like rocking back and forth reading their prayers on the subway.
God.
That was always so weird.
But what else do they have to do? This is
nothing,
the trad life.
Shop.
This is what trad
shop,
women should
take
do.
Care of the babies. I doubt they even clean their own homes. They probably have some Goyim slave do that.
Yeah, Puerto Ricans.
So all they do is just shop all day. And, like, push around their little children in their strollers.
What's crazy is how a lot of their men get paid to study religious texts all day.
Yeah.
Like in Israel, where they don't even have to serve in the IDF. The women all do.
Yeah.
But the religious guys, we'll study in the Torah and the Talmud, so we don't have to do that.
Back and forth
this is our work. This is our work. The Goyim pay us for this. The American Goyim taxpayers are paying for us to study the Talmud.
And then the ones that aren't religious are like landlords and superintendents.
Slumlords.
Yeah, slumlords that, you know, don't even fix any of the leaks that are coming through the ceilings or anything. And they just charge like 12, $1,200 for a crack shack.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to do anything. It's just passive income.
Yep.
And then they're on Section 8 as well. And food stamps. And it's like, you know what? They're the biggest welfare queens.
Oh,
you want to
yeah.
talk about Shaniqua and Tyrone? No. Because Shaniqua and Tyrone are just living off of Section 8. But these fucking Jews are living off of Section 8 and passive income.
And they're smart enough to scam the system as best as they can. So they're... Yes. They're doing things that are highly illegal as well to just get all insane amount of money for doing nothing.
Yeah, when are these like fascist right-wingers going to bitch about the Jews on welfare? Because they're always like, oh, they're damn blacks and these Muslims. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, do you care about all the Jews that are on or, Section 8?
How about corporate welfare with all these bailouts that have taken place? Right. 2008 one, the more recent one.
It's basically everybody but Whitey.
Yes, with the Jews getting the lion's share.
Yeah, they get the preferential.
And then they throw a little bit to the hyenas that guard them.
Mm-hmm.
And the vultures. Of course, the vultures, too. Can't forget about the vultures.
And the chicken hawks.
Oh, yeah.
The chicken hawks might be protected in the inner circle with the Jews.
Yeah, and there are plenty of predatory chicken hawks in the fascist right wing.
Oh, yeah.
Pro-white world too.
Oh, sorry, it's white positive because Jason Cohen told us we are only allowed to use that phrase now because we have cult lingo that we must use.
It's not a cult.
It's not a cult.
They tell you to go free. They don't tell you to do that in a cult.
Cohen's is more of like an online cult, but Bertaria is like real life.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, I wanted to bring up this story because it is relevant to you. We found out about this a couple days ago.
Yeah, this is weird.
The Daily Mail finally reported on this, but I think the story originally broke last November.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they just reported on it.
Did you know about it?
No, I didn't know about it until, you know, a little mainstream press got shined
on. And why all of a sudden would the mainstream press give a shit about
something? I have no idea. Maybe because he was just fired, or maybe because some development had happened
in
the story.
Wait, he was fired? I thought he stepped down.
From what I understand, okay, there was the guy...
One of his
supervisors, I think, stepped down. Okay. But I think this Jeremy Burkhart guy might have been fired. So here's the story. The Kentucky police and first responders, law enforcement officers.
Would firefighters be first responders, though?
I think so. Yeah. So they were all getting training from this guy. He was a Kentucky Department of Justice staffer named Jeremy.
It must have been firefighters, because they're the ones that deal with all the overdoses. They're like the first ones on the scene.
I think it was for everybody. It was the, you know.
Cops.
Also the call center, the, you know, 911 responders. Yeah. Okay. So it was a Kentucky Department of Justice staffer who had basically lifted 6 minutes of the second part of our opioid documentary about the hidden history of heroin pushers.
Yeah. Which obviously goes into like Bugsy Siegel, the Purple Gang,
Meyer Lansky.
Monsters. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a damn good piece of education right there. But he took the first 6 minutes and just put it up as part of their training.
Including the Renegade Films intro that has the Black Sun.
Yeah, the Black Sun.
I guess he either didn't give a shit or he didn't know.
He didn't realize that people would see it and recognize what it was. So he cut a clip. And people are claiming he stole it. I don't care. We don't care.
That's what it's out for.
Yeah, educate the law enforcement officers with Renegade content. That is great. So he cut it right before we start bringing up the Jewish mobsters. So he knew. He had watched the whole thing. He admitted.
But he's like, it wasn't relevant.
I didn't include the Jew stuff because, you know, it wasn't relevant to the lesson.
To the discussion we were having that day. Maybe at a later time.
So he made these training videos, and one of them was just completely lifted, full 6 minutes lifted from that.
Which is great.
No, absolutely awesome.
Literally, my voice was training the Kentucky first responders. Mm-hmm. Like, what an honor.
Yep.
This is just ridiculous.
The video was produced by Renegade Films, whose logo is a Nazi Sonnenrad.
I love how they use Renegade Films because, like, no one, like, we don't have a Renegade
that's
Films
why,
website.
That's why they use it.
Yeah,
so
they
don't
didn't
point
direct,
it to Renegade Tribune.
They didn't mention our names. They didn't direct any traffic to the Tribune for a specific reason, obviously. And saying Renegade Films, like, we don't have, like, a Renegade Films site.
We should. I wish we did. There is a Renegade Films, which is probably going to be all pissed that... Yeah.
Well, the Renegade Films on BitChute doesn't play half the videos.
I meant there is an actual company called Renegade Films.
Oh, they're probably going to copyright us or something. Whatever. We don't even freaking make movies anymore, so okay.
But we do have...
Come and get me.
We got the good one about child trafficking. It never finished, but still 3.5 hours long.
It's got a good amount of views. It's got 32,000 views.
And that's just the one that's compiling all the different sections. Yeah. Individually, they've been seen a lot.
Yeah. That's what all everybody should be trained on. That should be like a national duty to, if you're an adult, to watch that film. I don't care if it makes you uncomfortable. How do you think the children that are being raped feel? I think they feel a little fucking uncomfortable. Yeah.
So the article by the Daily Mail, they don't even try to debunk or really discredit any information. Yeah. It peddles anti-Semitic tropes.
Conspiracy theories about Jews dominating the heroin trade.
Like, in Las Vegas.
They say it in their own words. We're not even, making it up.
Who was the biggest tycoon in Las Vegas?
Meyer Lansky? Sheldon Adelson.
Sheldon Adelson. And also Steve Wynn.
Yep.
So, of the top four casino magnates in Las Vegas, you had Sheldon Adelson, Miriam Adelson, and also Steve Wynn. Those are the biggest. There was also one guy who supposedly is a goy, but who knows with that. Anyway, it's hard to deny the facts when you really just research them and present them. I mean, you can't. And that's why they didn't include the actual video itself.
Right.
Same thing with the child trafficking one. We're dealing with facts here.
Yep.
Anyway, I thought that was pretty awesome. I hope we see more of that. And really, honestly, if you are working on the front lines,
gotta know the score.
You know what's going on.
Yeah, at least some.
At least some of it. You're going to gain a racial awareness pretty quickly.
Well, and that's why. Oh, in response to this, what the ADL has done, they're going down there to train them for 4 hours on the Holocaust.
That was the immediate. Okay, that was the immediate thing, was that you had to undergo 4 hours
of
indoctrination. And then
6 minutes of our film.
And then I think they've also, they had even more, that the Holocaust Museum and the ADL.
Can you imagine
ADL
having to sit through that shit?
Yeah.
I would just keep grilling them. I'd be like, why was the chimney added after? Can you explain that?
And I love how this was all because of a little film we put together.
Yeah.
The DOCJT contacted the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum and the ADL to schedule a virtual training for a course called Law Enforcement and Society, Lessons of the Holocaust. According to the Kentucky Justice and Public Safety Cabinet, the trainings will provide an opportunity to reflect upon their roles, responsibilities, and challenges of policing in a democratic society.
That's why we have to come indoctrinate.
A democratic society. A one in which Jews rule over you regardless of who you vote for. It's the definition.
True. They're being honest. We live in a democratic society.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know, it's good to know that. Let's move to Kentucky.
Yeah.
When are we moving?
Hey, you guys.
That's good to know that the police are aware of this stuff. I mean, the guys obviously watched the film because he decided to turn it off.
He decided to cut it at the Jew part.
Exactly right before we talk about how Jews were not ashamed to sell heroin like the Italians were.
And it wasn't like the first 6 minutes itself had been re-uploaded somewhere. It came, it's always just as the...
Like, he probably ripped it from BitChute. Actually, there is a YouTube version up still, on Hugh Wyatt's channel.
Disappearing Hugh.
Disappearing Hugh. Maybe he's out there somewhere. Maybe he's out there, Hugh. We miss you.
All right, so that's pretty much all I had to go through today. If there's anything else that's been on your mind with what's going on in the world.
Nope, that's pretty much it. Everything is absolutely insane.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are other things that we've been paying attention to, but, I mean, people know the score. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you could. How could you not see what's going on now? Even if you're not on the front lines, it's one of these cops who's actually going and dealing with, insane Africans and entitled Jews and everything.
Oh yeah,
and just all these stories coming out about how white people are going to be punished in this way or that way, or how everybody else needs to get preference.
Yeah,
I mean, white genocide is so obvious now. It wasn't back when we were first talking about it.
No, people were like, "Oh, you're such a alarmist. White genocide. Ooh, okay.
People are getting killed in the streets." And then
that's
you see,
not what a genocide. Genocide well, can be.
But they are.
Yeah, they are getting killed in the street.
We're becoming South Africa,
genocide
guys.
Genocide isn't just rounding people up and shooting them all. It's the slow death. death of draining their resources and reallocating them to other people that are not white.
Psychological warfare is a component. If any of those
demoralization too.
Yeah, I mean that's the biggest part of psychological warfare is demoralizing your opposition. Mm-hmm. You can't win. And that's why we get all these comments sometimes coming in.
It's hopeless.
We're domed. That's what I got.
We're domed.
That was a comment that came in today.
We're all domed. we're Israeli.
We're iron domed.
My fellow white people, we're iron domed.
All right, you want to promote Heathen Herbs here?
Yeah, check out Heathen Herbs. I got to make more bloom soap. Yeah, but I've got, I think, everything else. So check it out. We've got the teas, the herbal teas now. And I got more iodine in stock. And we've got lots of deodorants ready to go. So yeah, check it out.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me here for this second part. And thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Listen to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Katie Armor raised the standard. Finally, AR-500 steel core body armor that comfortably conforms to the chest and torso. Unique design distributes weight, feeling lighter, increases mobility, and lessens fatigue. Introducing the Combat Quad Bend, CQB, a revolutionary plate-forming process that caters to the end user. The CQB is an industry game changer, a must-have for the ladies. Available now, only at katiearmor.com, C-A-T-I-armor.com. Come and take it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Attention patriots, tired of the tyranny and crime in the sanctuary cities? Flee the city and seek refuge in the American Redoubt. FleeTheCity.com. Move to the freedom of Idaho, Montana, or Wyoming. FleeTheCity.com. FleeTheCity.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
For the next few seconds, you'll hear nothing but the sounds of a farmer walking through a field of oats. These sounds are brought to you by Pepperidge Farm Farmhouse Bread. You see, life on a farm moves at its own pace, because everything we're doing takes time. That's why our bakers slow bake our farmhouse oatmeal bread with thoughtful care, so our famous farmhouse taste is baked into every slice. Pepperidge Farm Farmhouse Oatmeal Bread. Slow is good.
Thanks for listening to Project Schoolyard Volume 2. For more information about the project, as well as lyric to the songs on this CD, please visit www.tightrope.cc. You can also find jokes, news articles, a photo gallery, free CD downloads, and a secure online shopping cart. We carry a full line of flags, t-shirts, CDs, books, stickers, and other products of interest to racially conscious white people. Please visit www.tightrope.cc.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.